Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smarter Apartment Data Studio. We have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic, don't let an audit ruin your business. Joining me by phone is a wonderful supplier partner to the multifamily industry, Mohammed Hussein, the CEO of Balanced Asset Solutions. Welcome, Mo.
Hey, Paul. Pleasure to be here.
Whenever we have you on the show, you always bring information that is so important to a lot of the things that people really don't think a lot about when they're operating. Most people are thinking about, you know, getting a lease, leasing up the apartment, or making sure work orders are done. But there's a lot of stuff that they really need to be concerned about to make sure the business is operating the way it is. And one of those is the potential for an audit. So for the edification of our listeners, let's talk about what is an audit and why is it so important?
Yeah, great question, Paul. And usually a lot of people have an adverse reaction to the word audit, right? Some folks sometimes may have the perspective that this is somewhat threatening, but if we look at it just fundamentally, just the definition of an audit, you know, it's the form of view on whether the financial information or the information presented in financial reports taken out as a whole reflect the actual financial position of an organization as of a given date. And there's a couple of different audits that people think about when you think about just audits in general. You have the tax audit, which usually is run by the government and looking and taking a deeper look at how you've been logging revenue transactions and expenses, amortization, depreciation, things of that sort. And then in the real estate market specifically, there's an entity known as the Department of Real Estate. And this is a regional organization, a state-led organization that ensures that the brokers and the folks that are running asset and property management firms are properly adhering to what they call trust accounting best practices. You are handling assets on behalf of owners and different entities, and this is a regulatory arm that ensures that these assets are being managed correctly, that there isn't a commingling of funds, and that the financial reporting and transactions that have been logged and recorded are true and accurate. Lastly, we have, you know, what's known as kind of like a third-party audit. Most publicly traded companies, think about a real estate investment trust, for example. They have to hire a third-party firm that audits the financial reports being done by the in-house or outsourced accounting team to ensure this adherence to, and for publicly traded companies, it's GAAP, generally accepted accounting principles. And so usually the fundamental notion of an audit and goal is to ensure, you know, some adherence to either GAAP or Department of Real Estate trust accounting best practices and a combination thereof.
So an audit generally is not something that you volunteer for. I would think when it comes from the Department of Real Estate or some of the government entities, are there any signs that someone could be aware of that would make them think that maybe there's going to be an audit coming so they could get everything prepared for that?
Good question. So, and you are right. Nobody necessarily volunteers for an audit. We emphasize to our clients or in general in the industry that just to ensure you're actually following kind of best practices, it's something that we feel like it's necessary to do an audit on a regular basis, quarterly, annually at a minimum. And this ensures that your accounting practices are adhering to what's expected during a Department of Real Estate audit. It's not a matter of if you'll be audited. It's a matter of when. When we talk to our clients and in the industry in general, we find that there's usually two very prevalent reasons that audits occur. At the end of the day, the Department of Real Estate is a state-based organization. They have, you know, limited resources just like any other government entity. And so usually what they're looking for is indications of folks that are potentially not following these best practices and maybe have issues associated or challenges associated with how they are handling the financials on behalf of their owners and their tenants. And we see that usually when an audit is occurring, it's one of two reasons. It's either, a tenant has submitted an anonymous tip to the Department of Real Estate, a frustrated tenant usually, and usually this is a result of them not getting their security deposit. For example, within 3 weeks, most states across the country, you need to give the deposit back to the tenant after they vacated a residential dwelling within three weeks, or there is a fine that could potentially double the amount that you would need to return back to the tenant. So that's one example of why the Department of Real Estate may be interested in potentially auditing your financials. Another common reason is the owners. So if you are a third party fee manager, you're managing assets on behalf of owners and other entities. And if there's a level of frustration that happens due to them not receiving reports on a timely basis, if they feel like the financial figures on the reports that you are providing to them are not accurate or consistent, this may be cause for concern. And, the Department of Real Estate is the regulatory arm that can help kind of right-size that. Another prevalent theme that we see with folks that are kind of being audited fairly consistently is folks that are commingling funds. And when I say commingling funds, you have two different owners that have two different set of assets, and you are a fee manager, a third-party manager managing those assets, and the funds and expenses against those assets are going into the same bank account. This is what we call commingling funds. Now, there's nothing wrong with commingling funds between two different owners. However, the accounting can get a little bit messy, and it can be a little bit difficult to untangle if you are not properly tracking all the actual transactions against the two assets and ensuring that neither of the assets are dipping into a negative balance. For example, if you have, owner A and owner B that each have a balance of $200 and the bank account balance that they share is $400, and you receive an invoice against owner A's assets for $300, they only have $200 associated with their assets. You can cut that check for $300 and it won't bounce because there's $400 in the bank account. However, that property will now run a deficit of $100. And the reason that check did not bounce is because essentially owner A is somewhat stealing from owner B, or at least borrowing for the temporary period of time. So this is one of the examples of the type of issues that we see in trust-based accounting and folks that are commingling funds between different owners. Another good example is for security deposits. Security deposits are a liability. As a property and asset manager, you are mandated to return that, and you can't be using those funds to operate the business. You can have those funds go into the same bank account as the operating funds, but you need to be very careful with ensuring that you have at all times the full balance of all the tenant-level security deposits, because this is the liability. Essentially, you need to return this. And so instances where operating and security deposits are being commingled in the same bank account, instances where you're commingling funds between two different owners and two different assets in the same bank account, a lot of these scenarios, there's a lot of room for potential errors and challenges that arise from being able to commingle these funds. Now, it definitely simplifies things when it comes to being able to do a bank reconciliation, for example, but it's very important to have a very strict kind of adherent accounting process in order to ensure that you're not, dipping into another owner's funds or another, set of funds that you shouldn't be in your, in the security deposits for your operating expenses, for example.
So we've got about a minute and a half left. And are these Department of Real Estate audits that we're discussing, do they occur in every state, or is it regionally? It's in some states, it's not.
Good question. So it is mandated at the state level. So every state, I'm in the state of California or in the state of Texas, every state has its own Department of Real Estate. Essentially, this is the regulatory entity also when you get your broker's license or any type of real estate designation, you need to go through these regulatory organizations to be able to get that designation. This is the same regulatory arm that will also be doing the audit in the case that there is an audit. And the risk there is, you know, if you don't necessarily have a good outcome, have exposure and risk associated with your license being kind of taken away or potential fines that can be that can get fairly exorbitant, depending on how egregious, you know, some of these violations are.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We're going to be back with much more on this topic right after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Rev, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book Rev's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let Rev drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let Rev be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire Rev today.
Hi, this is Paul Marks, host and producer of the Multifamily Matters radio show. I have on the phone with me a longtime multifamily industry veteran and the author of several books, the fabulous Gary Gregory. Gary, you just released a new book called The Super Fantastic Me. I've got my copy, but tell our multifamily industry audience why this book is so important to multifamily.
Hey, thanks, Paul. The Super Fantastic Me is a guide to help people curate their best version. And why is that important? Well, all too often we go through our workday on autopilot. I was guilty of it as a community manager, checking boxes and simply doing things. Now, once I discovered there was more, that I could bring more, my outlook and career changed. My book offers a life-changing exercise to curate your word or calling card, principles, and core values. This allows you to bring greater value to the room no matter the circumstance. And having a multifamily team that knows and shows their who, why, and how will be unbeatable.
Thanks, Gary. I recommend that everyone in the multifamily industry get their copy and one for each member of their team of The Super Fantastic Me. Order it on Amazon today.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of don't let an audit ruin your business. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a fantastic supplier partner to the multifamily industry, Mohammed Hussein, the CEO of Balanced Asset Solutions. Before we jump back into the conversation, I want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Mo, in the first segment, we talked a lot about the different types of audits and the different types of accounting and methods of accounting, and specifically about the DRE audits, the Department of Real Estate audits that occur in states across the country. One of the things you mentioned was trust accounting. Let's talk a little bit about that. What that seems to be a pretty major theme that we've been discussing. So what goes into trust accounting?
So trust accounting is the concept essentially of keeping track of client funds that are held, you know, within a trust. And usually there's two main kind of golden rules that are very common in trust accounting in general. And that's one, funds and a trust must not commingle with the firm's funds. So in the example of in real estate, you, if you are an asset or property manager, you're managing funds on behalf of your owners and investors. Those funds cannot commingle with your corporate funds and your corporate transactions. So things like your rent associated with the space that you are leasing for your corporate business and corporate expenses like office supplies. The second main rule of thumb is that you must maintain accurate and detailed records of all the money that's kind of coming in and out, and you must only use your client's own money for their own matters. When it comes to the context of real estate, there's, you know, kind of three main stakeholders or ledgers, if you will, sub-ledgers within your financial reporting, and that's, you know, your property-level transactions. And these are mainly kind of expenses and can potentially be revenue. And then you have two sub-ledgers that kind of roll up into the property-level ledger, general ledger. And those would be, one, your tenants. So any transactions associated with move-ins, move-outs, the rent that you're collecting, and any other revenue fees. And then you have your owner ledgers. Your owners get, you know, distributions on whatever cadence and basis that has been established. And they also, you know, contribute to the property as a capital contribution in the instance where there's, capital improvement or something happening. And so, a lot of folks kind of, depending on the type of accounting system that they're using, it's very important to have a robust enough accounting system where you can delineate the difference between kind of a tenant level transaction, a tenant ledger, or an owner ledger, with versus that of the property level transactions. And keep in mind that both the tenant level ledger and the owner ledger both roll up into the property ledger. And so, you know, we had one client, for example, that was going through an audit, unfortunately, and a lot of the accounting, their place of truth was QuickBooks. And, you know, the caveat with these general accounting systems like QuickBooks is that there is no notion of a tenant ledger. There is no notion of an owner ledger. There's no notion of a rent roll. It is a general accounting system. And so it made it particularly difficult for them to untangle their financial reporting and for us to come up with actual... Are you still there? Sorry.
Yeah, we're here.
it made it very difficult for us to untangle and to come up with the true balances and transactions kind of delineated across those sub-ledger systems. And so... this is definitely a huge kind of pain point and challenge that we see with folks that are using kind of what we call non-property-based accounting systems, or accounting systems that are not specifically tailored towards real estate.
You know, you mentioned the three aspects of the trust accounting: the tenant, the owner, and the property-level transactions. Why is it so important to look at them separately as opposed to, it would seem like it would be easier to do everything all at once?
Yeah, good question. So I want to give you an example. So, you know, when a tenant moves in, you receive their security deposit, right? And this is a liability to the property that owes this tenant the security deposit upon their move out. When the tenant moves in and they pay their security deposit, you'll see on your balance sheet under the liability section that there is a security deposit line item. And that security deposit line item is what tracks the tenant level security deposit. What validates the balance that's showing up on your balance sheet, for example, associated with that security deposit, is corroborated by the security deposits you've gotten from all your tenants. And so that total on your balance sheet under the security deposit liability section should match the liability that you have across and the security deposits you've collected from all your tenants. We've seen a lot of examples and scenarios. For example, the same client that I was talking to you about, you'll have a tenant that has moved out. You know, the security deposit wasn't specifically disposed of, or what the move out accounting wasn't done. And so because of that, on the general ledger of the property, on the balance sheet, the liability balance was showing much higher than what was showing what they were supposed to have in the liability fund associated with the security deposit at the tenant level. And so when an auditor is looking at, for example, the balance of the security deposit, which is the liability, it showed that this particular client had a deficit in the bank account, and this was a result of them not properly moving out all these past tenants. Another example is, past properties. So, once you have a if you have an owner who has, you know, a handful of assets, they sell off one of the assets which you are no longer managing, but that asset was sharing a bank account with that is currently active and being operated with multiple other properties owned by that same owner. The moment that that tenant has, the moment that that property is now disposed of, it is important that the balance sheet is what we call closed out. So the liability gets closed out, either the security deposit is given to the new owner, or, you know, as part of the actual closing and negotiations associated with disposing of the asset, or, you know, the tenant had moved out. But the important thing is that the security deposit gets properly taken care of. And, you know, at the tenant level, we see a couple of things that should be tracked. So one is the security deposit. Secondarily is prepaid rent. And so if a tenant pays rent today, for example, for March, it's still February. So technically that's a liability and a credit that should be showing on their ledger. And the cumulative total of all the tenants that have made prepaid their rent should equal what we see on the balance sheet associated with the properties that they are residing. So we have at the tenant level, we have security deposits being tracked, prepaid rent, and then we have AR or accounts receivable. Accounts receivable is an accrual type of GL account that keeps track of all your open charges associated with a tenant. And so it's important from like a revenue recognition perspective that you understand the full balance of your AR and what corroborates or all the tenant transactions that make up that revenue, that AR. And so these three things are very important at the tenant level. At the owner level, you have, you know, owner contributions and distributions. And again, because all these different subledgers have different details that they are capturing, it's why it's very important for you to have a robust enough trust-based accounting system that can handle all these different ledgers. There's a whole host of other things on the balance sheet you want to take a look at, like transfers and things like the way you're capturing your assets and your capital and equity accounts breakdown within your balance sheet. But some of these things may not be items that the Department of Real Estate is particularly looking for. A lot of the things that they're looking for are associated with tenant-level liabilities, how the actual funds are being handled and segmented out from the rest of the portfolio or the rest of the entity that you may be managing for.
We've got about 2 minutes left in this segment. And Mo, I know, you know, you and your firm specialize in multifamily accounting and helping multifamily mm-hmm. owners. Tell us, where do you see the most issues? And I'm going to say, where do you see them? And what type of a description could you give? Is it a small operator that where you see the most issues, or it's at the property level? Where should people be concerned?
Good question. I wouldn't say that necessarily these challenges exist within small or large clients. It's very rampant across, you know, clients that are only managing a couple assets up to clients that are managing thousands of doors and working with hundreds of stakeholders. Fundamentally, the biggest thing is it's just, you know, in accounting, there's always a best and right answer for everything. There's a way to log every transaction correctly. And so a lot of it has to deal with, like, organization. If you don't have the proper kind of details and standard operating procedures and are organizationally sound on how accounting is done on a monthly basis and have some type of a check and balance to ensure the strict adherence to that, that is where we see a lot of clients struggle with.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We are going to be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of don't let an audit ruin your business. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a fabulous supplier partner to the multifamily industry, Mohammed Hussain, the CEO of Balanced Asset Solutions. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. REV, the leasing management company. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegiant, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Mo, we've talked a lot about the different things that people have to be concerned about. We have an audit, but let's talk a little bit about the challenges that multifamily operators have with audits. And, you know, what are some of the most common violations that an owner-operator might run into when they have an audit?
Great, great question, Paul. So I would say probably the number one citation that we see or violation is around trust fund handling. And this can be broken down in a couple of different ways. If you are an owner-operator specifically that is commingling funds between two different owners or multiple different owners in the same bank account, which is completely fine and legal, but in scenarios like similar to the example I gave earlier, where you are accidentally stealing funds from another owner to pay off an expense or whatnot, this is probably one of the most common violations that we see in trust fund accounting. The other citation that we see when it comes to, you know, trust fund handling are security deposits, not being able to properly disperse or give back the security deposit within a timely manner. Thirdly, is scenarios where you have past owners or past tenants that haven't been properly closed out, and they're sharing funds in the same bank account as owners that you are currently and actively managing. So, I have an example. One of our clients, you know, they're also going through an audit, and they have only one trust accounting or operating account that is shared across all their owners. Most of their owners all have single family homes. And so when one owner is no longer being actively managed by this property and asset management company, you know, their property ledger, in this scenario, we saw that a lot of their past owners had negative balances. So you have to realize that because they were commingling funds with that past owner now, with the currently actively managed owners, that past owner that had a negative balance essentially stole funds from the other properties that they're currently actively managing. And this can become a little bit of a contentious topic and conversation and scenarios where this property and asset manager has to go back to these past owners and investors and recoup those funds because they were essentially overpaid in the distributions that were sent to them. And you want to ask why, you know, why in that instance was the owners, you know, given a larger distribution than what they were entitled to. Usually this is a result of the accounting practice and process of the property and asset management firm. And so if you are giving distributions to your owners much earlier in the month before you've paid off the expenses associated with vendors, maintenance requests, your management fees, then, you know, usually when you're doing these distributions, whatever is left in the trust account is what is distributed to the owner. So it's important that your distributions actually happen later in the month after all expenses have been accommodated for, accounted for, and, you know, all invoices and payables have been paid for, and then the owner being kind of the last to be kind of paid back. You have record retention, which is another common pain point in citation with the Department of Real Estate. So in most states, you need to have a minimum of 3 years of record retention. When I say record retention, I mean keeping all the financial transactions and detail associated with all the assets that you're managing for a minimum of 3 years. In some states like California, it can go as far as 6 years back. And so every receipt and tenant payment, every charge, every vendor that's been paid, every bank reconciliation, you need to keep track of all this financial information for at least a three-year period. Usually when the Department of Real Estate is doing an audit, a lot of these property and asset management companies, not only are they property managers and asset managers, but they're also brokers that are engaged in activity associated with selling and acquiring properties on behalf of their owners and stakeholders. And so the audit is usually twofold. It's, you know, auditing the actual management side of the business as well as the brokerage side of the house. And usually on the brokerage side, which we don't see as many issues, they'll be looking at, you know, how the agreements that these brokers have with their salespeople, mortgage loan disclosures and things like having, making sure that they're displaying like their license within their office and so on.
So when somebody ultimately goes through an audit and gets a citation, what does it look like?
Good question. So these are very, very broad. Depending on the type of citation, the fine will be commensurate with how, you know, quote unquote, egregious that particular citation is. And so things like, for example, security deposits. These are a liability to the property. You know, God forbid, if anything happened to that asset or property management company, those funds are still liable to be being paid back to the tenant that paid their security deposits. And so the most egregious or the citation that carries the highest fine is associated with improper handling of the security deposit. So, and I want to give you an example. We had a client that was, you know, commingling their operating funds with that of their security deposit. And because they were commingling the funds, they're operating in the security deposit, and there was kind of a lack of oversight in how the accounting was actually done. They did have a previous controller that was embezzling the funds associated with the security deposit. So, and this turned into a larger legal issue with the organization. But you can see that this is something that can potentially snowball into a very big issue and a lot of pain to the organization that has to kind of go through this. And a lot of this is a result of kind of lack of oversight and kind of controls in place and ensure that things like this don't happen.
And so does someone have the opportunity to just get a warning, or is there always some type of a formal action taken?
Good question. So usually if it's the first violation or citation, usually it comes with a warning, kind of a slap on the hand, if you will. And then essentially the Department of Real Estate will put you on the back burner and make a secondary visit, usually within 1 to 3 years. And usually when they come back within that 1 to 3 years, they're going to look at, okay, hey, the last time we were here, these are the items that we found that were actually concerning. Had these items been mitigated? Has there been a process that has been put in place to ensure this doesn't happen again? And you know, that second time they come around, if they find the same similar issues that they found during the first visit, then, you know, fines can range somewhere between, you know, $20,000 to $300,000, depending on how egregious of a violation it is. Again, scenarios where security deposits are being significantly mishandled, or there's a significant shortage in the security deposit bank account in comparison to the liability you should be carrying from all your tenants, these are some of the most egregious, usually the more expensive type of citations. And so usually you'll get off with one. Maybe in some scenarios we've seen clients getting a second warning, but, you know, the first time you're being audited, it's something you should take seriously and put some process in place to ensure that you'll be able to mitigate in the future.
Yeah, and we've got
a third time.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
But last thing I just wanted to comment, usually the third time that they make a visit, if there's still issues that haven't been mitigated or addressed, this is usually when, you know, you have a risk of getting your license kind of taken away, your broker license.
Wow. Well, we've got about 2 minutes left in the segment, but, you know, when you mention the fines, the potential fines that are out there, you said $20,000 to $300,000. You know, it seems like that could be just the tip of the iceberg, because it's not just the fines you have to pay, I would think, but it's also what you have to do internally to get things straight. It's going to take an investment of time and money to get your book straight, whether it's bringing in a consultant like you to be able to help them get things straightened out. But it's not just the fines, right?
Right. No, great question, Paul. So, I mean, there's immense business disruption that comes with it right now. The organization and the leadership and executive management is worried about potentially losing their license, the business being threatened. And so this comes very, very heavy for any organization. For small and lean businesses, this can be potentially a make it or break it, which is why it's very important to have, you know, some controls and things in place. Very similarly to having, you know, the right, you know, coverage when it comes to insurance, right? You know, these are things that we may not be thinking of in the moment, but, you know, God forbid if there's some disaster or something that happened to a property that you own and you don't have the right insurance policy, this can be something that can be extremely expensive, and an expense that comes out of nowhere that can potentially bring you to your knees. And so, and in that same vein, you should be treating these audits just as seriously and have some type of quote-unquote insurance policy in place to ensure that you're able to mitigate a potential scenario like that.
Yeah, that's a fantastic analogy. It's think of it as an insurance policy to make sure that those things are where they're supposed to be when and if, or inevitably when, an audit comes your way. But I'll tell you what, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back with our final segment of this episode right after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Multifamily properties' water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
We are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And today we're discussing the topic of don't let an audit ruin your business. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is an awesome supplier partner to the multifamily industry, Mohammed Hussein, the CEO of Balanced Asset Solutions. And Mo, we've talked a lot in the first three segments about the audits, and you know, you've been kind enough to relate some stories of some of the people you've worked with, some of the issues that they had that I'm sure you helped them straighten out. What are some of the strategies and tactics that a company can leverage to make sure that their organization is ready for an audit whenever it happens? And I know I saw a statistic recently that said 1 in 4 businesses are being audited that are audited result in no citation. So how can our listeners be one of those one in four?
Yeah, great question, Paul, and also a great stat. So if we take apart that stat, so that would mean, 75% of businesses and real estate companies that are being audited are resulting in type of citation or violation. So that's a pretty high figure. Mm-hmm. So earlier in this segment, I was talking about the main reasons that the Department of Real Estate, usually kind of an indicator that they use for a business that they're looking to essentially target for an audit, and that's one, your tenants and your vendors, your tenants and your owners. And so it's important that you have great relationships and open communication and dialogue between the management company and the tenants. This is to ensure that there's no level of frustration or miscommunication that, that brings them to the point where they're willing to submit some type of a complaint to the Department of Real Estate, ensuring that, they get their the tenant ledgers are accurate, that when they move out, they get their security deposit within that three-week time period. And then for the owner side, it's important that, these folks are also, happy and that there is an open level of communication, that they're getting their financial reports in a timely manner, that those are accurate, and that you're answering any questions that they may have about the figures that are showing up on any of the financial reports that you are preparing for them. And so having that very tight-knit and close and open communication between these two groups of folks ensures and will diminish the probability of them kind of reaching out to the Department of Real Estate. And, hopefully there's no drive there for the Department of Real Estate to put you under a microscope, if you will. When we look at a lot of businesses within kind of the real estate multifamily market, we see an extremely high turnover of accounting staff, especially now in this post-COVID environment and kind of remote world, if you will. We see that on average, a controller within a, real estate company on average lasts about 9 to 18 months. So this is fairly short-lived. And the challenges that come with that is each accounting team that is managing the financials and login transactions has their own approach of how to do things and whatnot. So, and having this high-level turnover rate of having a different team that's managing the financials, over time, each team brings on their own practices. And there may be small things that are missed here and there, but these compound over time, we always talk about accounting as being kind of a story that goes from left to right, and we can't just ignore everything that predicated and just start in the middle of the book. It's something that needs to be seen and organized and looked at holistically from the beginning of time, because a lot of these issues compound over time. And so, in understanding this churn, it is important to have certain procedures kind of in place. We suggest companies have a monthly checklist of ensuring that certain things are done, that the bank reconciliation is done correctly. For example, the financial reports are actually validated. For example, what we call a balance sheet reconciliation to ensure that the security deposits seen there line up with what you have at the tenant level, your open AR lines up with what you have, what your tenants owe, that the prepayments also line up with what your tenants have the prepayments that they've made, that your AP matches up with your open invoices that you have associated with your vendors and your owners. And so you need to have kind of the standard operating procedure and also actual date or guideposts of when certain things need to be completed. Management fees need to be completed within the third week of the month. Vendor payments get done on the second. Financial reports are compiled and reviewed at the end of the month. And then after that whole process, you need to also have what we call a third-party overseer or auditor of those financial reports to ensure that there's no bias in them. So having one, an actual standard operating procedure and process of how you go about your month close as well as your year-end close, and secondarily having a third-party audit your actual financials and ensure the strict adherence to both GAAP and Department of Real Estate best practices. These two things will help ensure that your financial health and your reporting is always accurate and to a T.
Yeah, and it seems like whatever it costs to do those steps, what it costs the company to do it, they'd much rather pay that than have the fines, potential fines or citations, and also the disruption to their business when something happens. So I think it's they should heed that advice. I do want to ask you, though, you know, once you get notification that there's going to be an audit, and we've got about 4 minutes left in this segment, once you get the notification that you're going to be subject to an audit, what are the best ways to get prepared for that?
Good question. So usually when the Department of Real Estate sends out a notification saying, hey, you know, you've been selected to go through an audit, they'll usually give you an indication of kind of the scope of what they initially want to look for. And it's usually very short term. When I say short term, they'll look at, for example, your last 3 months of financial data. And this is essentially a primer that the Department of Real Estate is using to give an indication, kind of an initial sniff test, if you will. And the kind of the thinking here is, you know, hey, if the reports look great for the past like 3 months, most likely we're not going to find anything past that. And so they won't do a subsequent kind of deeper dive into your financial reporting. So they'll ask for your last three months of financials. So this includes your general ledgers, your bank reconciliations, your balance sheets, open AR, your rent rolls that have your security deposits on there. And so it's important that, you know, if you are an organization that has been selected to go through an audit, that you've had all these financial reports and everything kind of in place and have already been vetted, and ideally working with a third-party firm that has worked with the auditors a lot, because usually they'll give you, you know, impart knowledge about what they've seen consistently in the market as challenges and kind of consistent violations and citations that they see within your region. The other thing that the Department of Real Estate will ask for essentially is some like map or some explanation or summary of what your accounting process looked like and where your controls kind of exist. So this is very important. We talked to a lot of owners, and you know, one of the clients that we're working with now, they've been working with their CPA and accounting firm for close to two decades. This is a tax advisory and CPA firm. And this owner was under the assumption that, hey, you know, my tax accounts are telling me that my financials are clean and that I am, my financials are good and my reporting is good. However, it's important to understand that, you know, the folks, these tax accountants and CPAs, they're looking, the lens and the context that they're looking at your financials is from that of a tax lens. And so they're not diving into the type of details and looking at specifically the way that you're handling individual transactions, but rather, you know, finding opportunities for you to be able to mitigate, you know, tax liability and whatnot. And so although that this perspective is very important and has its own value, it is not the same as working with a CPA or accounting firm that specifically focuses on your trust accounting, how your accounting team is actually logging, preparing financials, and actually managing the assets on behalf of your owners. So this is something that, you know, a lot of the clients that we work with that, you know, go through an audit, and there's a lot of headache, you know, and it can bring a lot of pain to the organization, as you mentioned, and usually the importance and significance of having these controls, you know, really doesn't bear to light until, fortunately, you get in a situation like this. If I can give you an example of, you know, if I'm at the airport and I have a raging headache, you know, at that instance when I have that headache and I have something important to do later in the day, I may be willing to pay, you know, up to $1,000 for some type of a remedy that would get rid of this headache, you know, versus in an instance where I do not have the headache and maybe I'm given something like a Tylenol pill that I'll be willing to pay for a couple bucks, right? And so the value, the reason I'm willing to pay a lot more in the instance where I have a headache is the implications that it has on my performance. Maybe I'm going to visit a client or work on a large deal and what have you. So it's very important, as I mentioned earlier, it's kind of like using, you know, third-party audit as essentially kind of an insurance type of policy to ensure that in scenarios where you are put in a situation where you're going through an audit, that you are fully prepared and that it is not something that's going to be disruptive nor taking away your sleep or hair.
You know, we could go on with a lot more about this, but I want to transition, because we're coming up on the end of the segment, and I want everybody to know a little bit more about your business, Balanced Asset Solutions, the kind of things you do, the kind of client that you work with. We've got about 2 minutes left in the segment, and also tell people if they want to reach out to you, get in touch to find out more about audits or if they want to talk to you about how you might be able to help them, how can they reach you? So let's close out with that.
So we are a balanced asset. I lead a consulting, a CPA accounting and advisory consulting firm that's specifically just focused on the real estate market, mainly in the multifamily market. We have clients of all sizes, from a couple hundred doors to tens of thousands of doors across the U.S. And what we offer is, we are a group of technologists, accountants, and CPAs that have a tremendous amount of experience when it comes to operating in the multifamily segment. We offer services around, bookkeeping, accounting, oversight, CFO type of services, Department of Real Estate representation. So we will actually go to bat and, after cleaning our clients' financials, actually represent and defend them in their assertion. And so we offer kind of a wide range of services around property-based accounting systems and web development, marketing, and SEO. So think about it as kind of like a quasi CPA and accounting firm and web development firm that's just focused on the real estate market. And so and we have clients across 34 different states in the U.S. and across 60 different markets. We also have a little bit of an international presence as well. And so we have a deep expertise in kind of the compliance and regulatory challenges within each of these segments, and can offer a great deal of value to clients by leveraging kind of our collective pool of expertise. If you'd like to reach out to us, our consultations are free. You can visit our website at www.balanced, Asset Solutions, SOLUTIONS.com. Or you can reach myself at 619-415-6826.
And by the way, for our listeners, if you go to the episode page on our website at multifamilyradio.com, go to this episode page. There will be the Balanced Asset Solution logo, and if you click on it, it'll take you directly to their website. So, Mo, thank you so much. I know I'm going to see you, and I'll urge our listeners who are going to apartmentalize in Atlanta this year in June to stop by the Balanced Asset Solutions booth, or just simply get in touch with them before then. But I know you always are always looking to shake someone's hand and tell them hello and learn a little bit more about their business. So thanks so much for being here with us today. We are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.